they will do, what anybody in any of the best performing organisations does, is to make sure that they deliver the best possible service to their patients. And that, of course, tends also to be the most cost-effective as well. Things like minimising harm to patients, reducing the number of events that shouldn't happen, improving the quality. Patients in Huntingdonshire have Hinchingbrook as their hospital of choice. These are things which directly will make an impact on the overall finances of Hinchingbrook.
And when you're trying to save 40 million, you need to make an impact. So they've got to be cutbacks. Phil Gooden from Unison suggested that this could be a Southern Cross moment for the NHS.
Well, I think that's nonsense. It's absolutely clear that the services for patients will be maintained at Hinchingbrook, and the commissioners of services for the NHS, patients and their GPs and others, will continue to have all the services at Hinchingbrook as long as they commission them. And what we're looking for, and Circle and the team at Hinchingbrook are now aiming to provide, is improvements in quality and improvements in effectiveness and cost effectiveness.
A lot of people very worried, though, Andrew, that this is just the thin end. This is just
with you. If you know perfectly well, and anybody who works in any organisation knows perfectly well, that delivering the best quality services does not necessarily mean you have to do it at the highest possible price. What goes with high quality service is often something that is also very cost effective, and that's what they are setting out to do.
Yeah. Do you feel a bit lonely at the moment, Andrew? You're almost on your own here, aren't you, with what you want to do with the NHS? Hundreds of doctors written to the Daily Telegraph today warning the Health and Social Care Bill will derail and fragment the NHS. You know, you've got Unison saying this is the thin end of the wedge, privatisation for the NHS. I mean, do you feel lonely?
If you live in a world occupied simply by the voices of the trade unions, you might think that. I live in a world which is occupied by people across the NHS.
Doctors who've written to the Daily Telegraph, yeah.
Well, I'll answer your point if you give me 2 seconds to do so. There are clinical commissioning groups who also wrote to the Daily Telegraph just a few days ago, representing GPs, doctors and nurses, health professionals across the country, who are taking this responsibility now for delivering clinical leadership and improving services in their area. That's why I don't feel lonely, as you rather abusingly describe it. I feel perfectly happy because what is happening across the NHS is that I am empowering patients with more information and choice and control over their care, and doctors and nurses and health professionals with the ability to shape the services that they think are in the best interest of patients.
Your bill's dead, though, isn't it, Andrew? Nobody's with you on this, are they?
Of course it's not. That's nonsense. I mean, you must live in a world with created by the BBC.
No.
In Westminster.
No, I'm just reading everything I read, you know.
No, in Westwell, you should get out more. In the Lords, they have approved of the bill following its passage from the Commons. They gave it an approval in principle. They are amending it in detail. But the principles of the bill are supported across the NHS. The NHS Future Forum, hundreds of meetings, thousands of staff, gave us a lot of feedback on the proposals and the plans. We made amendments in line with their recommendations. They said the NHS, across the NHS, the staff support the principles of what we're setting out to do. They just now want to get on with it.
Yeah, the doctors and nurses are not with you, though, are they? They say what you're doing is costing more money. It's actually making the NHS worse.
Well, I'm sorry, you're still living in a world which is populated by misrepresentations from some trade unions. That's not true. It doesn't cost more. It saves, and part of it essentially is to save money. In total, it will be £1.5 billion a year at the end of the Parliament being saved by reducing the cost of administration. It's putting those resources and many more into the hands of frontline staff to improve services for patients.
Hinchingbrook's a bit of a guinea pig, though, isn't it? I mean, isn't it a bit dangerous to experiment like this with hospitals?
Well, of course, you might have started by saying, was this a programme begun under the last government? It was.
I don't care which government. I'm just asking a serious question. If you were Labour, Andrew, I'd be asking the same question.
Well, the implication of your question was it somehow connected to my plans. I didn't start the process at Hinchingbrook. What I do think, however, is that it is very clear that we cannot carry on in the NHS, as we've done too often, with hospital organisations that are running at deficits, which are receiving resources from elsewhere in the NHS at the expense of patient care. You know, we provide resources to the NHS for the delivery of high-quality care to patients. That's what I hope the resources will be provided to.